You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Oh, look at you, Matt Neely. Virile, vigorous, and potent today.
Matthew. I am the G-Man. I am here with my review of and comment upon the news.
He was a Paradise Valley guy. He wasn't hanging out with Schweikert.
He might have been a Fountain Hills guy.
Near the giant fountain.
He took the Corvette out towards Fountain Hills and opened her up.
Let's go to David Schweikert. David, give me a good G. Gordon Liddy story. What do you got?
Nothing. His son ran against me for Congress.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Bingo.
David Schweikert should be eliminated by my son Thomas.
Yeah, and actually, I never really got to know him very well, but there's no question he was smart and actually took on a couple very difficult agencies here in Arizona, I think gaming and some other things. And from what I heard, did it actually quite well. So I only met him once because I think he lived more like on the Gainey Ranch area.
Yes, that's
which
my
is
understanding.
Farm Grant. But if you ever listened to the show a decade ago, because, you know, let's be honest, it's been, you know, a decade. He had a very interesting rhythm and would often go down rabbit holes that it was a little bit more like gym talk.
All right, let's go. Let's see how the news is beating up Schweikert lately. What do we got here today? Phoenix New Times, Democrats suspend big money to boot Schweikert from Congress.
Woo! Really?
That's what it's...
Oh, I hadn't even seen that. Is that this week's New Times?
August 15th. Okay. It uses a picture.
Yeah, it's a little out of date because they're actually not on television yet. I mean, it's coming. Look, this is one of a handful of districts. Sistemani's and mine, the redistricting commission gave us the grace of saying, hey, let's make the two Republican districts. Let's make them swing districts. So, you know, thank you for the fairness of that. And when you have, you know, an urban suburban district like I do, you're dealing often with populations that are fairly well educated, reasonably prosperous. And for them, when the political class is talking, they actually want facts. They want to be treated like adults. They're not necessarily wanting the dopamine pandering that I think both our party leaderships, you know, bathe in.
I'm laughing because I'm reading the article while you talk. And first and foremost, the picture they use of you—you have—you still have some dark left in your hair. So I don't know how old.
Oh, good. Yeah, I haven't gone completely white. Yeah, I blame having young kids.
It says, so I love this. The DCCC, commissioned an impact research poll. I love the media. This is why the media sucks. Especially, we knew what the New York, we're getting in the New Times, I understand. Which it shared exclusively with the New Times. It shows that voters.
Okay, let's back up for one moment. When Sorry. You do a poll, and you can't get anyone to publish it because you won't disclose your sample and everything else. To a credit, a number of the reporters here in town have gotten tired of being duped by crap polls. Because remember, a lot of the polling is about raising money.
Sure.
It's not actually about what's really going on in the race. So if you can't get anyone to take it, yeah, tell the New Times they get an exclusive.
Here's a good one. The DCCC may have commissioned it, but it doesn't mean the poll is wrong. The DC.
Yep. Yeah.
You're going to love this one. They said the DCC noted that it polls, it's according to them, their polls correctly predicted the ultimate winner 92% of the time. it's so good. So anyway, you're in a dead heat with this guy, but of course, in some scenarios, your opponent goes to 51 and you've dropped to 45%.
Yeah. Look, one of the great scams, and for anyone here who's ever actually answered a poll, there's polls where you're trying to find out attitude and what's really going on. And then what you do is you test your attacks and your positives. So you'll do this scam. Hi there, I'm going to give you 10 things that are evil about your opponent. And just boom, 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 boom. Now that I've made him, you know, the sister or brother of Satan, how are you voting? And then they publish that. And look, both sides do it. The Democrats just do it in, you know, because they have a compliant media. You know, in some ways, I can't believe that a lot of the Arizona media isn't required to file FEC filings because of being part of the, you know, political operation of the Democrats. So
the guy who wrote the story is named TJ Lecheur. I'm not even making that up. He said he did reach out to your office for comment, but you got no response.
Yeah, and what are you going to respond to something like that? Are you going to walk them through saying, okay, can I show you how you do a poll? How do you balance the sample? How do you do this? And we've done that a few times to different reporters, and there are a handful of good reporters that say, oh, yeah, because I'm tired of being scammed by the fake polls.
The
remember our rule, a real poll, a good poll, cost you like $18,000. Do you take your really good poll and give it to your opponent?
Correct. He holds a master's degree in journalism from ASU, but he has a bachelor's degree in public policy and Latin American studies from the University of Chicago.
All right.
Perfect.
Look, he may be very smart. It doesn't mean he's a polling expert.
The other funny one was, I think someone sent me yesterday, it was the headline that said, shock, Liz Cheney endorses Kamala Harris.
But now, okay, and for everyone listening, and I need to get DeSimone to understand this, when you see so-called people who've been either Republicans or and now they're independents, endorsing a presidential candidate, what are they actually trying for? What's really going on?
Well, again, I'm sure there's money involved.
Yeah, good. You know, you immediately go, oh, they don't like President Trump. No, they want a job.
Yep.
And, you know, so I'm the mayor of a city and I'm going to endorse the candidate of the other side. Hope, please, because my term's over. Give me the deputy assistant to the assistant of the Farm Bureau credit, and I'll get a great salary. And if I can stay there 5 years, I get a pension.
Yeah.
It's part of the scam of how you'd be shocked how many people will do that. Now, in Ms. Cheney's case, it's probably more media.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, how does she be able to sell speeches? She needs to be on television.
I was up in the great state of Maricopa for about 30 hours Friday, Saturday.
It was the Grand Imperial State.
Grand Imperial State, thank you. Had a good lunch at Richardson's off of the 51.
Yay! You're in my neighborhood. You should have called.
Well, you know, you're busy. You got like all these kids now. I don't want to bother you. But what I was going to say... I was going to say something. Oh, on all the electronic billboards, of course, we had the conservatives for Kamala Harris. It would just say that, right? And you're just kind of like, at least they're trying. You know, it's all horse crap, but.
Of course it is. But once again, who's the audience? Who are you trying to sell? It's 4%, maybe if you're, you know, a bad pollster, maybe 7% of the population that are just trying to raise their kids. They're just trying to economically survive. And they'll turn into the election in the next week or two. And that's who you're trying to communicate to. Everyone else already knows how they're voting.
Yep.
And there's the classic problem is the audience that's listening to you right now, they're smart. They're educated. They're involved in politics. They're involved in the community. You don't wake up and listen to talk radio unless you're sort of, you know, like us. You're an oddball. You're involved. These are the people who are right now listening to satellite music as they drive into work.
Right.
They have no idea who their state representative is or their congressman, or but they're going to vote. How do you get that person's attention? And that's what the messaging's about. It's that tiny percentage who will decide our election.
All right, Dave, hold on for one break, please, and then we'll come back, okay?
All right.
Thank you, my friend. We're talking to U.S. Congressman David Schweikert. Dave Slavin's here. We're going to start doing After David, our Tucson AdFed Hall of Fame, Hall of Achievement, award interviews. Love doing it. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We're doing Billy Joel versus Elton John today. 7:22 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We're about 10 minutes away from doing our Tucson AdFed Hall of Achievement interviews. Dave Slavin's here. And we'll probably start off with our good friend Herb's beautiful wife, Carrie Stratford, who got a silver medal award as part of this whole thing. So we'll talk to Carrie very soon. U.S. Congressman David Schweikert is back on the line. I don't know why, but he is. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
it's just been come habit now. You know, I figure, you know, destroying the political career is, you know.
Well, let's go to the phones. Let's go to my our friend Sergio. Sergio, you're on the line with U.S. Congressman David Schweikert. What's up, bud?
Hi there, Sergio.
Good morning, Congressman. Hey, something you said right now really struck me as you're right. There is that group of people that do not see much of the election right now. I mean, we absorb it because we listen to it, but even somebody like me, I'm very politically conscious of what's going on, but I have not seen maybe 3 ads. I listen to Spotify. I listen to podcasts that don't have ads. I don't watch much TV without, you know, that. So I'm roughly in, you know, I'm 33, my age group. There's TV and ads is very difficult to target this group of people anymore. So when you said that, I was like, that's very true. It's like, I really haven't seen any of that. Most I'll see is at the gym when I'm walking by the TVs.
Sergio, you're in some ways you're brilliant. And there's multiple answers. First, you're part of the generation that's really hard to communicate to because you're using your mobile device, you're listening to podcasts, you don't listen to traditional media. The other thing that happens is political consultants, and it's one of the real problems in the Republican Party, is we are consulted to death, like to put ads where they get big commissions. And so one of the reasons they want to do broadcast television is broadcast television is really expensive, and they get like 15% of the ad. When was the last time you went home and watched Jeopardy?
When I still lived with my parents.
Yes, and that's sort of the point. So you're starting to see this whole new generation of how do you find ways to communicate to folks who are functionally 45 and younger? Because they consume media differently. You got to talk to that population almost through their phone.
Yes.
There's ways to do that. But you have the other problem is you got to define for your own district who are your swing voters, who are your uncommitted voters, who are your folks that are still persuadable. And that's why, as we started talking about polling, once you target them, you figure out who they are. Do you give away your polling to your opponent, saying, hey, here's the uncommitted population. Let's share that with everyone so our opponents also...
I got a quick question for Sergio on this. And also, both me and his mother think he's brilliant. I just want to let you guys know that. So is it get into the Instagram thumb scroll Is that what it is? Is it a YouTube video? Is that how you get to the 33-year-old?
You know what? It's difficult. It is really difficult. I was thinking to myself, like, what is the last political ad that actually rolled across anything, Twitter, Facebook, you know, Instagram, any of that? And I can't remember off the top of my head, actually. And the only thing that I've actually got mostly is those spam texts that are ridiculous and you have to constantly hit stop. That's the most I've gotten, and a lot of it is in Instagram. I mean, maybe you can do ads in the Instagram and your Twitter feeds, and you're going to get. But, you know, David, you were correct in saying that who is in your group of your district that is a swing voter, and then how many of then you have to break that down into the age group of who still watches TV, who still gets a newspaper, who does only that. I mean, from that point, you start getting into a very tiny ad buys just trying to target those people.
Sergio, at your home, you probably stream your media. You probably use YouTube TV or Hulu or something like that.
Yep.
And that's the and yet if you go speak to your parents or your grandparents, it's shocking how many of them just said they're still watching traditional cable.
Hey, I'm going to break this party up. I want to get one more phone call in before we got to let go, David.
All right,
Sergio, great conversation, buddy. I appreciate it. Richard, you're on with U.S. Congressman David Schweikert. What's up, buddy? Richard!
Can you hear me?
Okay, Richard, go.
Can you hear me now?
I got you. Go.
Okay. Yeah, so I've been listening, and I just want to respond to hearing about Liz Cheney and conservatives for Kamala and so forth. It seems to me like Kamala Harris is really going after those moderate voters, where I really don't see that from Donald Trump. He seems to just be going for his base. I don't see that as a winning strategy. Can you respond to that?
What you just said is true. Look, the reason you put up completely fake, you know, Republicans for Harris, things like that, is you're trying to make that swing independent feel comfortable. Particularly ones that traditionally might lean comfortable voting Republicans. Oh, well, it's you're giving them a pass. Republicans have this bad habit of we want our dopamine hit. Are you ready to listen to a politician who broadens what they're talking about issue-wise? And we see this over and over. We got to talk to everyone.
Richard, good phone call. David, thanks for a great two segments. I appreciate it as always, sir.
Hey, thanks for having
me. You guys are back in session Monday?
Yep. And let the chaos begin.
All right. Good luck with all that, sir. Have a good weekend.
Thanks. Bye now.
Great calls by Richard and Sergio. I appreciate it. David Slavin and a host of the AdFed Hall of Achievement honorees coming up between now and Jump in Tucson with Tommy Malton. So now I'm just going to be screaming the word Benny for the rest of the day. Benny. All right. We're only doing 80s Joel here at the Catalina Wine Mixer. 7:35 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson. Christy Simone, Matthew D. Neely. Good morning to my progressive rock consultant, David Slavin. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing good. How are you?
Not too bad.
By the way, the little story there, listening to Billy Joel
yes.
do Uptown Girl, and it takes me back to the days in 1976 at the University of Arizona when I co-produced Billy at the U of A main auditorium. Now it's called Centennial Hall.
Oh, I did not know that.
And ate Kentucky Fried Chicken out of a bucket with him before the show. With him and his band.
What a name dropper you
yes,
are.
Yes, I am. I'm a good name dropper, Bill.
And last time I saw you, it was after midnight, and we were coming back from a John Anderson Band Geek show at Celebrity Theater.
Wasn't that a great show?
That was an amazing show.
And I truly have been a John Anderson fan for 52 years, I guess.
If I can talk half as good as that man can sing at age 78 when I'm 78, and I'll be thrilled.
And he can move.
Yep. Absolutely.
He can prance around the stage, not quite like Mick Jagger, but pretty good for a...
It's all that elven energy in him. That's right. We were talking to the crew outside. This is our 10th year of doing this.
10th year for
Holy
the Advertising
moly.
Hall of Achievement. Way when When we got started with this event, we were looking at a way to link the past with the future. And so we take the people that have been involved in the advertising community and been involved outside of the that work in the advertising community and are involved outside of the advertising community, whether it be faith-based organizations or Boys and Girls Clubs or any number of the nonprofits. So it's looking at what people do outside of their regular jobs. And that's how we pick to honor the people that that we do. And so...
What is an ad fed and what does it do, okay, as we say? So people should understand this.
We're coming up 2025. June of 2025 will be the 80th year of the founding of the Tucson Advertising Club. And in the 1990s, the Advertising Club became the Tucson Advertising Federation. In the 2000s, it became the American Advertising Federation Tucson. It's an organization that was founded by a gentleman named Jack Underwood, who was the director of sales at Tucson at the Arizona Daily Star back in 1945.
Wow.
And it was to help advertising-related issues and help businesses succeed and provide education.
Was the city trying to tax advertising in 1945?
Boy, you know, they, they've tried. We beat the tax on advertising in 1990.
Ed Ackerley,
that was probably his first dip of the toe into the political waters, and spearheaded the advertising club at that time, fighting the ad tax issue, and we got a four-year phase out in 1990.
Then they tried to bring it back a couple of times. I do remember when Joe and I first started the show, it was like 09-ish.
Right.
And there they tried to bring it back.
They tried
again
to bring it back in 05. They tried to bring it back, and Ray Deppa and I...
Ray Deppa. Love Ray Deppa.
We kind of spearheaded the move against that at that time. I believe there's a state law, I thought, that was passed. I think it's number 1260, that says that the local municipalities cannot initiate new taxes.
All right. I hope.
And so, because I heard the segment while I was driving in, and I believe that's the case. So
okay.
I would think that trying to implement another sales tax might be illegal. I don't know. I just...
Just not on advertising, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's not on services, but...
Yep.
Anyway, I'm getting off topic.
So we have a silver medal award.
Silver medal award, which honors somebody who's been in the industry for an extended period of time and has made significant contributions through mentorship and leadership roles, both in the club, outside the club, and in the community. And this year we're honoring Kerry Stratford, and Kerry is certainly the epitome of someone like that.
I mean not only is she a success at what she does, but she does put in massive effort and time to the mentorship
of others, the leadership at the University of Arizona, what she and her husband Herb did with the Fox Theater, what they're doing with the Teatro Carmen Theater now downtown, what they've done for the Museum of Art. There are just so many things that Kerry has had her hands in. And so this year she's a perfect one to be honored for that.
Then we have two Hall of Fame inductees, Daryl Durham and Mitch
Sigsworth.
Sigsworth, excuse me, I apologize.
Mitch was the director of sales at Cox Media, Southern Arizona, for the last 10 years. He was with Cox Media for, a quarter of a century. Good long run with them. And Mitch has been involved with Boys and Girls Clubs here in town. I mentioned Boys and Girls Clubs before. Well, I bring that up because through Mitch's efforts, that's top of mind awareness for me. And so...
And then Daryl Durham.
Daryl Durham, longtime marketing director at the Arizona Daily Star. He succeeded Jim Rowley. He was involved in the founding of the Festival of Books. I believe Kerry Stratford might have even been involved in that. And so tremendous amount of leadership in Tucson that Daryl has given us.
And then Ad Pro of the Year, Bill Hussey.
Bill Hussey. Long time, I think 33 years at the... Clear Channel Outdoor, used to be Carl Eller Outdoor, Whiteco, a few different names over the years. But Bill has been involved with the Centurions and the Tucson Conquistadors all through that time. So a tremendous amount of work for the community, raising money.
And then a young lady I'm very familiar with, our Next Generation Award winner, is Becca Collins.
Becca Collins. And a lot of the listeners here would be aware of Becca, as she is Doug and Mary Martin's daughter.
Yep.
And the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Becca's been involved with the faith-based organizations and leadership within the Tucson and within the American Advertising Federation Tucson. And the Next Generation Award honors someone under the age of 40 who has a long, promising career ahead of them. And
Doug said he just got out of his office and let Becca take over as CEO. Doug's in the small office now.
I have heard that. So, but we'll let Becca tell that story. That's certainly not one for me to tell.
You are correct. All right, Matthew, let's go to break, and we'll bring on our good friend Kerry Strafford, Silver Medal Award winner. And Tucson Hall, AdFed Hall of Achievement is happening this evening at the Hacienda del Sol.
This evening, Hacienda del Sol, 5:30 p.m. We're sold out, but we will find tickets at the door for $95 each if anybody would like to attend. Not only are we going to honor these five magnificent individuals, we'll have live auctions, food, full-plated dinner. It's going to be a fun time.
Look at you. It's going to be quite a party tonight. All right, we'll be back with Kerry Strafford.
Yes. All proceeds benefit the Educational Foundation and internships for advertising students.
All right. As we like to say, it's for the children. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, 7:47 in the morning. You're on Wake Up, Tucson, and the 10th anniversary. I just found that out 3 minutes ago. It was the 10th anniversary of us having all these amazing ad professionals on the show, and we're honored to have Silver Medal Award winner, Kerry Strafford. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'll get you a little closer on the middle of that mic, please.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you, too. I always say when people win the silver medal, who won the gold?
I know. Somebody else asked me that. I think it's because the Olympics have been on everyone's mind lately. Because when I've seen other people win the silver medal, nobody's ever said that. So I think it's the Olympics.
We're just going to keep it a mystery, Kerry.
I guess. I don't know. It's a national thing. I don't know where they got that, but...
So here you are. So did you go to school to get into advertising marketing?
I did. I have a degree in visual communications.
Okay.
So graphic design, marketing, that sort of thing.
So was there a medium you were working in those days? In your visual, it was just design. Were you doing any sort of?
Yeah, I have a degree in studio art.
Okay.
So I do, and still, when I have time,
right.
Do painting and drawing and all the things.
So, very cool.
Yeah.
So what was your first gig in the marketing advertising world?
The very first thing that I ever did was when I was 15, and I was working for Pima County doing calendars to help folks who lived in rural areas understand safe practices for storing food and
that's
for
a hell of a first gig.
Practicing, you know, safe kitchen storage and making food and things like that. So it was like a calendar.
What was an example of a lesson you taught through the calendar?
Well, I mean, it was in some cases
like refrigerator
pretty
food.
Simple stuff, yeah. That you have to keep things in the refrigerator at, you know, a certain temperature, and you need to keep them that way all the time, or the ways they spoil.
Gotcha.
And I had to do all these drawings and things to explain that to people.
How old were you when you doing that job?
15, I started.
What?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's awesome. That's a great first job for a 15-year-old.
My mom used to drop me off down at the county building, and I used to do that. So.
And so how did that develop? How did the career develop off of doing calendars after you graduated college and all that? What came after that?
Well, when I graduated college, there was a couple jobs in town that I would, a couple places I wanted to work, and none of them were hiring. And Herb was still in school. We met while we were in college. He had another year, so I was looking for something.
Where specifically did you meet Herb?
We met in 19th century European art history.
Yes, that is perfect. Beautiful. I couldn't think of a better place for you two to meet.
Yeah. So anyways, he had another year in school, so I was looking for a job, and so I started my own business because the two places I wanted to work didn't really have an opening right then. So I started my own business and started getting new clients. And
what was this business about? And what was it called?
It was, at the time, it was called Athena Graphics, and it was graphic design, marketing, that sort of thing, and started working with some really good clients right away.
Okay, such so, as?
You know, clients that probably aren't around anymore.
That's okay. We like those better sometimes.
Artisoft was one of them.
Oh, my.
Do you remember them?
Of course.
Yeah. And actually, Melanie, I think she started the Women's Foundation and worked for her and her husband. And so, yeah, lots of clients.
I'm going to sound like a barbarian. Melanie who?
I'm going to totally forget her last name. Okay. But anyway.
All right. That's okay. That's all right. So then, so you're doing Athena graphic arts marketing.
Yeah.
And so that's the idea that you start off as a graphic artist, really, but at the same time, you started developing the overall marketing knowledge base and skills.
Yeah, most people come to being in marketing or in advertising or running an agency from a few different paths. They either come from the design side or they come from the copywriting side.
Right.
So they're either a writer or designer or PR. My business partner, Linda Welter, she's from the writing, PR, journalism side. So
right.
Everyone comes from a different path.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk about what are some of the skills that you needed to develop over time that you knew you were just, it just wasn't in your wheelhouse at the time, but now that you're so many years down the line, you're there.
Well, I don't have a business degree, so clearly
okay.
I've been running a business my whole career. And I didn't get a business degree, so my parents owned a business, so I guess people are always like, oh, isn't that scary that you started a business? And I guess I didn't know that that was something I should be scared of,
right?
Because it was just natural to do that. But yeah, it just I think, you know, marketing changes all the time.
Oh yeah.
And we've seen incredible changes in this industry. So every year there's something new, and our team sits around the table every Monday morning and says, okay, what's this new thing called Facebook? What's this new thing called Twitter? What's this Snapchat? How do we use this for our clients? What are cookies? What's Google going to do next?
I'm sick of cookies, Carrie.
I
reject all.
Do you reject all? No.
Classic well. DeSimone. I reject all. Talk about coming together with Linda on the Caliber Project.
Yeah. So I met Linda. She had started a women's leads group. And I met her there. One of my clients invited me to come to that. And it was a bunch of women who had small children, and we couldn't do breakfast group. So it was a lunch group. And
that makes
so,
sense.
Yeah, so we got together and met there and started doing projects together. And our clients started over time saying, can we get one bill instead of two bills from the two companies? And so that's how we merged.
The merge was the simplicity of billing situations.
They wanted us to be in one location, and we merged our staff, and they all, you know, having different skill sets in one building, they started to appreciate each other, and it was good. So yeah, that was in 2007.
Who are clients that you're proud that you've worked with and done innovative things with over the years? Who are some of the highlights?
Yeah, well, Matt Neely is sitting back there, and
sick of him.
And of course, his wife, his lovely wife Kelly Turner Neely, was our client at Hughes Federal Credit Union. We still
sure.
work with them. And Lisa Ross, they're one of our larger clients, is Hughes Federal Credit Union. We do fun things with them, and we're really quite the extension of their team.
All right, I'm going to ask you not an embarrassing one, but uncomfortable question. The Sean Miller Wildcat card commercial.
Yeah.
How many takes did it take him to get to that point where he stiffly said, I got the Wildcat card? This is something I've always wanted to know, Carrie.
Well, we did a lot of those. We did a lot of those commercials. So it depends on what one you're talking about.
All I can tell you is you guys tried your best. God bless you.
He's
not here anymore.
Yeah, he was, he just didn't like being in front of the camera.
I bet.
Yeah.
You can tell.
Some coaches are better in front of the camera than others. So.
So what's your favorite part of doing this job right now? What's your favorite part that still keeps you jazzed about what's going on in the world of marketing and Caliber Group?
A lot of it has to do with my role as sort of someone who has a lot of knowledge over the years. I'm training the next generation, mentoring students, mentoring younger people, getting them up in their skill set, and turning things over to them and letting them run. And that's very rewarding.
Sure.
And then we also work with a lot of nonprofits. And so, you know, supporting them and helping them with whatever their goals are is also very rewarding. So we worked with a lot of nonprofits in Tucson.
So when working with the younger folks, what are some of the qualities and traits that you really enjoy in these up and coming 18 to 24 year olds? What do you like what you see?
Yeah, we had an interview the other day with a young man, and we always look for enthusiasm and perseverance, things that they've maybe overcome in their background or in their life, that you know that they have some grit and some perseverance. And sometimes we pick that over skill set, because in some cases we can train skill set.
Oh, you can always train skill set.
Sometimes you can't get that, you know, that can-do attitude, that attitude of I'm going to get up every day and do this and learn it and put some time in. And so we look for people like that.
How about, what do you see in the, what's missing in their skill set that you wish could be a little better? You're seeing something that's kind of a similar trait that's missing, or a skill or a knowledge, because we know schooling's interesting out there right now.
I think that what I'm noticing about the younger generation is that they're interested in experiences, as we all have heard, but they want experiences, so they don't stick with things as long as we all used to. I mean, we've had interns in our office for years and years, and we're used to getting them for a year or two, and then they come out of our office as a full-fledged member of our team.
Right.
But students now tend to want, you know, a 6-month, a summer internship, something that's a little shorter, because then they want to move on to the next thing and they want to gather as many of those experiences they can.
Sure.
And that's good, I guess, for them, but it's also not
good for you.
Giving them the longevity and being able, because it's hard to give someone a really longer project and really teach them something if they're not going to be around as long. So,
well, and growing up in the gig economy mindset, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what you're dealing
with.
So
we'll see how that pans out for them or for us.
Matt Neely, do you have a, Matt, you got a name for us? Is that what you, hold on. One more time, I can't hear you.
Melanie Robidoux.
Robidoux, that's right, Robidoux.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you, Matt.
So,
thank you, Matt.
Did someone call, I assume someone called up with this piece of information. Beautiful, this is what happens. Hey, we got a minute to go. I don't know if you've ever been on the show, or it's been a really long time. I think it's been a really long time. So I'm going to ask you two favorite locally owned restaurants you're really enjoying lately. What do you got for me?
Two favorite restaurants. We love Sace.
Okay, sure.
The one down at the Mercado. We frequent that one quite often.
They always do a nice job.
They do. And let's see, what's another one that we've been going to lately? I'm trying to think. Well, I always love Scordato's over on Stone and River.
Okay, the pizza one.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Okay.
Yep.
And does Herb snore? That's a question I've never asked anyone before.
You know, not really.
Okay.
It's not much of a snore. Uh-uh.
That's something I've always wanted to know, and now I know.
Random.
Random, yeah.
Congratulations on your silver medal.
Thank you.
And again, have a great time tonight at the Hacienda Del Sol.
Thank you very much.
You deserve it. You've
nice
worked your tail off. You've done the mentorship, and congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Nice to see you and Matt both.
All right. Carrie Stratford, Silver Medal Award winner. We're going to continue on with the rest of the Hall of Achievement interviews coming up soon.